is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
A little after 1 o'clock and another qualifier just around the corner. That would be so nice to go to the Masters. Beautiful course. And I understand there's some kind of tournament there during that week, too. So, kind of nice. What a great thing to win. That'll be a legendary story. There's no doubt about that. And somebody's going. So we'll find out who the winner is, and hopefully it's you. You'll be able to go. Yeah, you got a very busy hour. We're going to try to get Corey Graham in here, too, to talk about the Oil Kings and their great efforts. First now in the East, confirmed. I wonder how deep they'll go this year. How deep will we be talking about the Oil Kings this spring? Hoping for a nice long run, and we'll talk to Corey about the game against Red Deer at 7:05 tonight as well. So, Edmonton Oilers in action in just a few minutes from right now, and in this hour, we're going to be talking to Jeff Grischel a little bit about NHL injuries and injuries to prospects as well. But we begin the hour, a little preview of the game, with Jonathan Willis. Jonathan, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Alan. How are you?
Good. You're all ready to watch the game and count scoring chances, or?
No, I'm actually doing some renovations, so I've got it all set. I'm going to watch it tonight.
Are you one of those good husbands?
Well, I make an effort to be, and she hasn't left me yet. So.
Okay. Well, your wife can never talk to my wife, but other than that, it's all good. Let's start with the Rennie stuff. I personally am somewhat bewildered with the radio calls and the blog stories and the tweets and the general discontent in regard to Coach Rennie, especially after they traded Tom Gilbert. How do you feel about that?
I'm not shocked about it. I think ragging on the coach is a time-honored tradition, particularly in Edmonton. But there does seem to be a lot of vitriol for a guy who's been a pretty competent NHL coach everywhere he's been and has made some pretty good adjustments this year, in my opinion.
I made the point last hour, and I think it's a good one, so I'll say it again since it's mine. Jeff Petrie. We heard rumors and we heard rumblings that he was ready to step up, but why is it that the Oilers had to trade Gilbert as soon as the perception was that Petrie was ready? Is there not room for two really good defensemen on the right side?
Well, I think so. I mean, I don't think sending away Tom Gilbert was a priority for the Oilers, but that's not really how I look at that deal either. Like, I don't necessarily agree with the fact that Nick Schultz is going to be more of a help to the blue line going forward, but I can see where the Oilers were coming from. If they really had Schultz as the guy they wanted to get and Gilbert was the cost, then I may not think that's a great trade for them, but I can certainly understand it.
Well, he's played well, too, right? Like, from my eye, and I haven't run the numbers or anything, but to my eye, he's a very safe player. He has made mistakes and taken penalties because of it, but there's a lot of calm feet there from Schultz.
I'd agree with that, too, and it seems lately like he's been being used on the fifth pairing sort of to babysit whoever that sixth defenseman is, so I'm not sure if that's the best use of him, like, long-term, but for now, he hasn't exactly been out there with the best help, either.
One of the things I wanted to address with you today is what we perceive as coaching decisions. Habby Willen playing today, but it's because Dubnyk has tweaked the groin. But Sutton sitting in favor of, say, Peckham, and I understand he's an NHL defenseman and they have signed him to $1 million a year and they need to get him back. That's a tough spot for Peckham to come back in cold, and he definitely did not have his best NHL game the other night. So if the coach is trying to win games and develop players and to make sure that they're being assessed, that's almost an impossible task, right?
Oh, I think so. And at this point, like Rennie had a great quote the other day when Gene Principe asked him why Sutton was sitting, and he said that you like to base your decision on performance, but you have to give people an opportunity to play. And I thought that statement said a lot about his mindset when he's putting guys out there. I don't think, based on merit, that he's dressing Theo Peckham or Cam Barker because it gives the team a better chance to win. I don't think he's doing it because he's deliberately hoping to tank either, but I really do believe that the Oilers need to make decisions on those guys this summer, and Rennie wants to make sure that they get enough ice time so that the Oilers are in a better position going forward.
I read your article on the Cult of Hockey today with regard to Rennie and the positives and the negatives, and I agreed with it. I thought it was a nice balanced piece on him. If they end up retaining Rennie, you wouldn't be surprised. Would you be surprised if they flush him this summer?
No, I honestly would put it around 50-50, maybe even slightly more towards him being dismissed in the summer, just because we haven't seen any kind of contract extension for him yet. I think it really could go either way. I think there's a case to get rid of him. I think there's also a case to keep him.
The argument that I would say to that is, losing teams, replace the coach every summer. That would be now four names in basically 5 years. If you're going to replace Rennie, you want to have something a little bit different. So would they go younger and more hard ass? Would that be the way to go? Or?
Well, I'm sure that for the first 20 games, fans would love to see a coach who deviates from the message a little more than Rennie does, shows a little more fire and anger. But I really don't know. That's the thing, is Rennie's got a long track record in development. He worked behind the scenes for the Rangers. His best year in the development area, his best years were in the WHL. So from a development perspective, I don't think it's clear that there's a vastly superior candidate available. With that said, I'm doing a series on coaching candidates, and I started to make up my long list the other day, and I got to 50 names without even trying. Like, there's a lot of qualified guys out there who they could realistically take a look at.
I think there's a group of Oiler Nation that would be happy if a name came out of the blue, if only that it wasn't Oiler related. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a sense out there that we've got to stop with the former Oilers and that sort of thing. And I don't know whether it's positive or negative, because I'm sure there's a lot of former Oilers who are great coaches. But is that something that the Oilers would have to consider, or is it just find the right candidate?
I think mostly finding the right candidate and talking to people the last couple of days, the sense I've gotten is that many are really interested in looking at a coach like Todd Nelson, just because Oklahoma's having such a great year. He's familiar with a lot of these young players, and he's perceived as a natural fit in a lot of places. With regard specifically to ex-Oilers, I think that story has sort of faded to the background as Steve Tambellini's taken over. We've seen a lot of his hires go back to his days in Vancouver, or even more so to Hockey Canada. Frédéric Chabot was with Hockey Canada. Tom Rennie's been with Hockey Canada in many, many occasions, and Pat Quinn's got a deep Hockey Canada background. So from that perspective, I think we're seeing under Tambellini a shift from the old Oilers club as a pool for resources and more towards a Hockey Canada mindset.
Among the names that were interviewed and rumored to be close to getting the job last time, and that was when Pat Quinn and Rennie were hired, were guys like Mark Crawford. Is he a guy who would be considered?
I think that guys like Crawford or a Bob Hartley or Paul Maurice, I think they're an inevitable part of the discussion. Crawford knows Tambellini from their time in Vancouver, so I'd be surprised if he wasn't a candidate. To my mind, he's not an ideal candidate simply because the Oilers don't have the kind of defense that Crawford teams typically have. But with that said, I mean, he's had a long NHL career too. And most of these coaches, even if it's a guy you don't necessarily think is a perfect fit, have a lot of good things going for them.
My choice, and I think I'm in the severe, severe minority here, would be to bring Craig McTavish back. Do you think there's any appetite for that aside from me and about three other guys on the internet?
Well, I'm one of those guys who, in retrospect, misses McTavish a whole lot more now than I did when the Oilers dismissed him. I have trouble seeing. I think that would go over very poorly with the majority of fans. I do think he's going to be in the NHL again soon.
Yeah, I agree. I remember when McTavish was coach, I used to throw things at the television during the power plays. Now I throw them during 5x5. So I don't know what's better.
There's sort of been an inversion there under Rennie. Now they're at least competent to very good on various special teams, but they're terrible 5-on-5, the reverse of the Mac T years.
I asked this question to Tyler Dello and Dennis King a week ago, and I want your input. I said to Tyler and Dennis, I said, I think there's just too much talent here. Almost no matter what the Oilers do, coaching-wise, draft-wise, improving the defense, there's so much talent up front now that we're not talking about whether or not this team will make the playoffs. That will happen. We're talking about how high up they can go. And we're talking about fulfilling that dream of finishing in the top four so you don't have to face the 77 Habs every year in the first round. Is that correct? Is this a team that is on the way to making the playoffs almost no matter what?
I think so. I mean, given the core they have right now, it's really hard to imagine Eberle and Hall and Nugent Hopkins and all the rest in their prime playing for this team and this team not making the playoffs. That's a very difficult thing to wrap my mind around. With that said, I do think the real question is sustain. We've seen before where a rebuilding team climbs out of the basement, has a couple years where they're a playoff team, and then dips down again. And that, I mean, worst case, like, that's not the best case scenario, and that's far from a certainty from being what's going to happen. But I think that's the big fear with the Oilers, is that they have this young talent, but they may not have the ability to turn it into a long-term contender as opposed to a flash in the pan.
We've talked about McTavish returning as coach, so we might as well ruin everybody's afternoon by talking about your article in regard to Dustin Penner and and him possibly coming back to the Oilers. Tell me a little bit about what you said in the article and then the reaction to the article.
Well, I was very, very careful not to explicitly state my opinion when I wrote the piece. Because that wasn't what I was going for, was trying to sell something. But I just wanted to see what the reaction would be if I posited Dustin Penner coming back. Because it's something that people have mentioned, probably on your website, certainly on the ones I write for, in comment sections and on Twitter and places like that. Penner's contract expires this year. He's having a terrible season. There's a lot of reasons for it. There's a lot of reasons to think that he can do more than he's done for the Kings this year. And from that perspective, I think he's a good bargain value contract candidate. I doubt it'll be with the Oilers, and I think there'd be a riot if it was with the Oilers.
Well,
he's like Alexander Keith. You know, you like him a lot or you don't like him at all. It seems like there's no middle ground on Dustin Penner.
I like it because we know he has chemistry with Gagne and Hemsky, and he wouldn't cost a lot. And like Ryan Smith for 35 games this year was good enough to play on the second line of this NHL team, but they wore him out. He'd be nice Smith insurance too, right?
I think so, and I don't see any reason. I mean, we're getting into that fabled three scoring lines territory again.
Uh-oh.
If you've got Smith and Horkoff as two members of your third line, is there any reason why Dustin Penner can't fit somewhere in the top six? Especially if, which as I expect, the Oilers move Omar Khan down the line this summer.
I, from now on, I'm going to have a big honking horn that plays every time somebody says three scoring lines on the Oilers.
Is that the new third line center for you then?
Yeah, I'm going to pitch a fit here, John. It's going to be your fault. This summer, to me, the Oilers have to do a few things. I'd like them to get a Penner type up front. Defense, certainly. Goaltending is interesting because they've got Dubnyk, obviously the young goalie. They're still seeing if he can play. And Habib Bulin signed for another year. I think most fans would like to see something done at goal, but they don't have to. What do you think the Oilers are going to do in goal this year?
I don't think they're going to do anything. We're just starting to see the Oilers transition from a very passive collect draft pick style rebuild to okay, now we're definitely targeting specific pieces. We've had indications that they're looking at adding a top end defenseman this summer, but I haven't heard anything really from the organization with regards to goaltending. Habib Bulin, like you said, is signed for another year. Dubnyk's RFA. It's really easy to bring both back. And it's particularly easy given how weak the free agent market is this year. I think pretty much Josh Harding's the pick of the crop from an Oilers perspective this season. So my expectation is they don't bring anybody in. I think if they're really gunning for a playoff spot next year, that's probably a mistake. But my expectation is if they show a bit of progress, that'll be enough. So they probably won't address the goaltending until summer 2013.
So we're agreed it's defense and one forward, and that'll be the summer, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So I always want to be careful about this, because when we start talking about, you know, big game hunting, immediately Oiler fans, or at least I do, go towards Pronger. But big game hunting might be Phaneuf or Mike Green or any, you know, OEL in Phoenix or Suter or Weber in Nashville. How many of those guys that we talk about, you know, being big-time defensemen are, number one, available at all, and number two, attractive to a team like the Oilers?
Well, I think a lot of them are attractive, but like the free agents, I think, are a very difficult sell for the Oilers right now. A team like the Oilers doesn't attract free agents at a reasonable rate. It's teams like Pittsburgh and Chicago that have completed their rebuild and are now respectable that can attract those sorts of players. So I don't see free agency as being a fit for the Oilers. Trade might be. We don't really know who's available. No matter what kind of rumors we listen to, we don't really know. The case in point would be Jack Johnson this year. He went from being, you know, a core piece of that Los Angeles franchise to suddenly there's rumors he's available to a week and a half later he's gone. So I just don't know. I think that the trade route is the way for the Oilers to acquire that sort of talent, though.
You've been on the Edmonton radio airways for 18 minutes. You've fired Rennie, added Penner, and traded for Phaneuf. You've done a lot of damage here, Jonathan Willis.
I'm baffled here.
Maybe you should be working on in home improvement, John.
You know, if anybody ever needs to draft an attack ad for me, that line is going to run right at the head of it.
There you go. Glad I could help. Jonathan, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. That's Jonathan Willis from Cult of Hockey, Oilers Nation, and various other parts. A great writer, excellent read. The great thing about Jonathan, I say this all the time, is he can merge numbers and stats along with a good read and come out having you believe in anything. As mentioned, he had, you know, Rennie fired, Penner acquired, and Phaneuf, was it? Already acquired by the Oilers. Good job, John. Thanks so much. Jeff Grischel on the way, and we'll talk to Corey Graham before 2 o'clock. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.